Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shaped the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks for joining us this week. My name is Bob Gibson, and we're going to present a special CIF football special. Over the next hour, we're going to hear from the coaches and the players that are going to play in this very special Division I CIF championship football game. It's Mater Dei versus St. John Bosco in an all-Trinity League final for the Division I championship. We'll also hear from the CIF Assistant Commissioner, Glenn Martinez, and then we'll have some media analysis later on in the program, talk about who might win this big CIF Division I championship football matchup. All of this and more over this next hour here on Catholic Sports View. But joining us, first of all, is the head coach of the Mater Dei Monarchs, and that's Bruce Rawlinson.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View, visiting with the head coach of Mater Dei, Bruce Rawlinson. Coach, congratulations on getting back to the CIF final.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was a great event here today, and Mater Dei is honored to be here.
Yeah, how much fun is it to be a part of this, not only for Mater Dei, but to see some of your old friends, Dave White, guys like that you've gone to war with so many times over the years?
Well, it's like a little mini coaching clinic, but the best part is to see the athletes, and I commend the CIF. You know, this is their favorite luncheon. This is their favorite event. And I agree. You know, there's a lot of guys that are, you know, breathing hard. We're a week out from the biggest game of the year. And you can see it in the eyes of the kids. And then it is fun to see, you know, especially somebody like me that's been rolling for a while. So, you know, it's an honor to be here. And it was a lot of fun.
Is it still as exciting as it's been every other year you've done this?
Definitely. Definitely. It never gets old. I can tell you that. You know exactly how to plan for it, you know, because fortunately I've done it. And when you're not in it, you know where you shoulda, coulda, woulda been, you know, and you kind of have that void on a Monday. Example last year, you know, I thought maybe we could be here and we weren't. And I thought about this event all day that day. And, you know, when I should have been going to practice, I was driving home. It's in your blood, and your whole body clock is set to the football calendar, and the football calendar doesn't end until after the CIF championship, or you got to figure out what to do.
You mentioned you've done this before. What do you do with the kids who obviously haven't done this before, who, you know, are thinking, hey, this is the biggest game of my life right now?
You know what? First of all, we have experience at the stadium because we played Servite up there, you know, a month or a month and a half ago. I met with the kids on Saturday, and I talked about the expanded media exposure. I talked about their parents getting all hopped up and worrying about tickets and worried about, you know, where's grandma and, you know, who, how many are going. I said, look, all you can do is tell your parents, look, I got a great seat. I'm going to be on the 50-yard line with coach. And let them deal with that. So you give them instruction on how to handle this thing. And then I told them, I said, you got to enjoy it. You know, you don't know where we'll be at next year. We didn't know last year. We thought we'd be here and we weren't. Enjoy this. But in the middle of this, we have to prepare. And we've got a pretty big-time opponent coming at us. So, but it's not a life or death situation, you know. As somebody earlier, one of the reporters said, you know, this is the ultimate test. And I said, it's not a test at all. Tests you can retake. You know what I mean? This is just an opportunity with two great football teams. And don't beat yourself. Don't be yourself.
Right. With JT and the St. Browns, obviously the passing game has clicked all year long, gotten the headlines that obviously deserves. Yeah. You really found yourself a running game, though, with Jacoby Harper here in these last couple of weeks. Comfortable with another sophomore, you know, going in and putting him to work in this championship game?
Yeah, I mean, he had 140 last week, and we've kind of upped the run reps in practice. And, you know, part of that has to do with, you know, how fast we were scoring and putting the defense back out there. So, you know, it's a combination of things, but we're going to do whatever it takes Saturday night. If we have to throw it every down, we're going to throw it every down. You know, we're not going to hold back. And sure, you'd like to sit here on Monday and say we're going to be balanced and, you know, mix the run with the pass, but we're going to do what they're giving us and we're going to take what they're giving us. So, but I am pleased with the kids and the improvement we've had in the run game. But I thought we were running the ball well before that. We just weren't running it a lot.
Your defense, you know, following this team all season long, the growth in the defensive side of the football, they look to be playing as good as they've played all year, and obviously this is the right time of year for that unit to be playing their best football.
They were not going to get much press, but that's where all the experience was, to be honest with you. If you look at the roster, there's where all your seniors are. The offense, they're all back next year. But then you had this offense takes off, but we knew, and the kids knew. What developed was a kind of I got your back, you got my back mentality. In other words, the offense would score and the defense would say, all right, here we go. We got to match that. We got to get them the ball back. Uh-oh, offense didn't do too well. We got to match that. We got to get them the ball back. So the one thing is we have great team speed on defense. And we have, you know, we have a bunch of kids that like to hit. And you can't ask for more than that. You know, it's like it came to me before last week's game. I told him, I said, you know, 11 men, one heartbeat, and go get the guy with the ball.
Finally, talking to Bosco, they obviously want another shot at you guys, and that's understandable the way the game went, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But I imagine Modern Day really likes to have a shot once again at Bosco in this all-Trinity final.
I don't know if we want a shot at them. We're certainly going to be ready for them. You know, there's a lot of people, believe it or not, that have Bosco as the favorite, and they put Modern Day as the underdog, and so be it. You know, that's what the experts think, then we've got to go out and prove that we're the better football team. But that's all the thing comes down to is 48 minutes and don't make mistakes and then let it fly. But, you know, you have to be careful. You mentioned some good stuff early on, you know, don't get overhyped, don't get distracted, and enjoy it. Enjoy it. It's a high school football game when it's all said and done. And what a great opportunity. These kids will never forget this. I can relive every one of our championship games, even the ones that we lost. And I can relive clear back, you know, like Dr. Dalen said 50 years ago. I remember almost every play. That's the memories we're trying to create.
Good luck, Coach. You go get a championship this weekend.
All right. Thank you very much. See you later.
Welcome back. We have a chance to visit now with Modern Day standout safety Quentin Lake. Quentin, what's it mean to be back for Modern Day in this CIF final, for you guys to have gotten here and gotten through everything you've done to get to this point?
It's truly special. After losing in the semifinals to Corona Centennial last year, starting off in January, we've been really hungry to get back and finally get the chance to win a ring. So it's been pretty exciting over these past few months.
Explain to everybody how fun this season has been for you guys.
It's really been fun. A lot of our teammates, we've just been joking around, and we're a really loose team, but when it comes down to business, we know when to get our work done and stuff like that. But overall, the season's been really fun.
Now, the Monarch offense gets a lot of credit and a lot of the attention, and rightfully so. They put up some big numbers. But this defense really has done a number this year. Talk to us about what this defensive unit, the cohesion, and how you guys have really come together to put so many shutouts and put so many teams that are really, really good on offense kind of down this year.
I would say our biggest asset to that would have to be that most of our defense is only seniors. We have 9 or 10 seniors on our defense. And outside of school, we all hang out and we all bond really well. But I say our biggest asset would have to be our offense and how good they are. Going against them each and every day in practice, it just helps us a lot to prepare us for game day.
Obviously, it's an all-Trinity final. You guys play Bosco. You know, I just talked to Bosco. They said they're excited to get another shot at you. But I imagine you guys are just as excited to get another shot at them as well.
Yes. Bosco is the game we look for every year. Coming into the week, we're always looking. Our mindset has to always get sharp. We're always practicing really hard because we know that Bosco can come out really strong when we play them. So it should be exciting, though.
What do you see on film from them that may be different from a couple of weeks ago?
Nothing.
Or is it all the same?
It's not. I haven't watched that. I mean, I haven't started looking, but we know that the main thing is we have to stop the run, and we have to control Real Mitchell. That's the biggest thing. We know that they will probably come out and pass against us, but the main thing is we have to stop Real Mitchell.
What did you guys learn in this playoff run about yourselves, maybe that you didn't know going in?
That we always fight through adversity. Even when we were down last week against Rancho Cucamonga, we knew that we had to stay focused and stay patient, and that helped us a lot to overcome the 14-0 deficit and come back and win the game.
Your dad's obviously Carnell Lake, UCLA legend. What kind of advice has he given you maybe going into this championship game?
I'm actually really happy that he has been watching my games. He's been watching since the first game against Bishop Almont. But he just gives me tips and pointers saying, like, get out of your break or just use your hands and stuff like that. So he's, like, he's really my role model and my mentor going into each and every game on Friday.
What does it mean to be a part of the Monarchs? You know the history, obviously. What does it mean to be part of this program and try to hold up that legacy, especially in a big game like this?
It's such a, I mean, I get, you could call it an honor. Playing for the players of the past, that's what we really strive ourselves for. It's just the tradition of the whole program, the three stripes, and just our coach as well, Coach Rawlinson. He really puts a burden on us to follow the tradition, so it's really fun.
Good luck on Saturday. Best of luck, and go get a championship.
Thank you so much.
Plenty more to come here on this CIF football special, Modern Day versus St. John Bosco in the Division I final. When we come back, we're going to hear from those Bosco Braves, head coach Jason Negro, and their star wide receiver, Berkeley Holman. Stay with us here on Catholic Sports View.
Passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.
Join Bishop Kevin Phan and Catholics from throughout Southern California on December 11th at 1 p.m. for the second annual Catholic Hockey Night at the Honda Center. Purchase discounted tickets to watch the Ducks take on the Ottawa Senators. Stay after the game to cheer on Servite Catholic High School and Santa Margarita Catholic High School as they take to the ice for a special exhibition game. For tickets, go to nhl.com/ducks/tickets/Catholic Night or visit occatholic.com.
Now is your chance to support Catholic education and the future of our Catholic faith. Subscribe to the OC Catholic newspaper today, and we'll make a financial contribution to the Catholic school of your choice. Simply visit occatholic.com/subscribe and select the school within the Diocese of Orange that you'd like to support, and we'll make a gift in your name. You also get the award-winning OC Catholic newspaper at your door with the OC Register newspaper every Sunday for 1 year. This is win-win all around. Go to occatholic.com/subscribe.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. I'm Bob Gibson, and we are having a special this week from the CIF Football Luncheon. We're talking about that CIF Southern Section Division I final, the All-Trinity League matchup, the Modern-Day Monarchs and the St. John Bosco Braves. And let's go ahead and talk with the head coach of the Bosco Braves, Jason Negro.
Visiting with Jason Negro, the head coach of St. John Bosco. Coach, congratulations. Probably an easy question, but how's it feel to be back in the finals?
You know, it's great. It's just a very humbling experience, and to be able to come back here 4 straight years is pretty special, and hopefully, you know, we'll have a good game Saturday night and represent our school well.
A sigh of relief after last week. Almost a championship game atmosphere with Centennial. How do you even explain how you were able to pull it off against a team like Centennial?
You know, I mean, I think we got to give a lot of credit to our kids and our coaching staff. They've did a really good job in terms of the preparation. But in those games, you just, you know, it's a fight, and you got to know you're going to have to play those guys for 48 minutes. And their proud champion, two-time defending champion, beat us 2 years in the finals. And I get a lot of credit to the kids and our resolve and how well we did in terms of preparation. And we got a lot of luck around there as well.
How much does it help that you get to play in the Trinity League? And that really is the best grounds for getting prepared for this kind of a gauntlet like the CIF Finals.
You know, I think that's what it's all about. I mean, to have to go through that gauntlet. And then, you know, in the preseason, we played Cincinnati, St. Xavier. We played La Mirada, who's here, playing St. Mary's. They're in their championship, and Bishop Gorman. So we played some pretty good teams this year, and hopefully it's prepared us and gotten us ready. And we're definitely battle-tested. I think you can say that about us.
You've obviously done this a number of times, you know, going back to Tribeco Hills and now with Bosco. You've been through it. Your staff's been through it. But not all your kids have been through it. What do you do during the week to help your kids prepare for the excitement and what this atmosphere is going to be like?
You try to reduce the enormity of the game, and you try to just make it like it's another game, and you're just another opponent. And that's the way we're going to approach it. You know, we've luckily had an opportunity to play in a pretty big stadium, so Anaheim Stadium won't freak us out or anything like that. And we're just going to be able to go and do the best job that we can to prepare our kids the best way we know how to. And that's just by taking it a game-by-game approach. And all we can do this week is go 1-0, and that's our goal.
I know Coach Speak, he'll say, hey, we will play who you put in front of us. But there's got to be a little bit of something in the back of everybody's mind here saying, hey, we get one more shot at Mater Dei. That's a lot of fun to get another shot at a team that the only team to beat you this year.
Yeah, you know, certainly our kids are excited about it, and I'm glad to be on this side of it. In 13, we had won the league matchup, and we had to play them in the finals. A little nervous on that, having to beat somebody twice in the same year, which we were fortunately able to do. But I like being where we're at. I like having the opportunity to be able to build upon some of those things that we did in the first game and hopefully replicate them in the second game, just come out with a different result.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what do you do to make sure this is a different result for the Braves this time?
Well, we're treating it like a totally different game and totally a different opponent. So I think that if you do that, you know, we've already had to do that once this year by beating Santa Margarita in league, and then we had to beat them in the quarterfinals. So hopefully if we take that same approach and approach it like it's a new opponent, you know, one game mentality, and, you know, our kids will approach it that way, and then hopefully the results will be in our favor. You know, it was a close game back in October. It was a 5-point Mater Dei win, 26-21. But we had our opportunities and our chances, and we didn't take advantage of them, and hopefully this week we will.
Does it help? Some of your kids have been through this, obviously, before. Can they help the ones that obviously haven't been through it?
I think so. I mean, this senior class has been a part of four straight CIF championships. You know, even back as freshmen, they had suited up for us in practice with that 2013 team. So they've certainly been experienced. They're helping our younger guys. They're kind of getting them, you know, mentally prepared and ready to go. And like I said, you know, that's the reason why we play these big games early in the season, so that we're prepared, you know, in December to play games like Mater Dei.
I talk about it so much on the air. We cover the Trinity, and I say the Trinity's the best there is. I mean, there's probably no better conference anywhere in the United States. I mean, explain to people exactly what it's like to prepare every week for maybe the best team you're going to play each and every week.
Well, I definitely think that the Trinity League is basically the SEC of high school football. Not only do you have great, you know, football programs, but you have great administrations and incredible coaches. I think right now we have three college coaches in our league. You know, the guys that have been at the college level that are now coaching at the high school level, and the amount of intelligence and the amount of football knowledge that goes through our league is something, you know, that I don't know if it's matched anywhere else in the country. And I think if you take a look at the success that our league has had when they've gone out and played other people in the country, you know, speaks for itself as well. We've gone all over the country playing some of the best programs, and we've come out, you know, on top in a lot of those. And we got to go through a 5-week gauntlet against them, and we're actually going to have to beat 7 Trinity League teams this year to win a title. And I don't know if that's ever been done.
It's quite a tall order, isn't it? Obviously, it's a matchup of some of the greatest players in Southern California. We know that. But the coaches, I mean, you know, we can set it up as the old veteran against the young guy or whatever it is. But how much fun is it to pit wits against somebody like Bruce Rawlinson?
You know, it's great. Coach Rawlinson and I are really good friends. I mean, you wouldn't know that based on our rivalry that we have had. But we're part of the Nike family as well. So we spend time in February up at the, you know, headquarters of Nike together. And we bounce a lot of ideas off of each other. And I've learned a lot from them. You know, and I've even said this in interviews in the past, that if there's some way that I can get my program to be as respected as his after 25, 26 years of being the head coach, that's certainly something that I would look forward to. And hopefully that our program has been relevant enough to be able to be mentioned in the same name as Coach Rawlinson's and what he's done at Mater Dei. modern day. And we still have a lot of work to continue to do, and hopefully we'll cement a little bit more peace into that history on Saturday. But it's just certainly humbling to be able to be a part of this league and this great fraternity that we call the Trinity League and this coaching fraternity.
Coach, thanks for the time. We wish you a lot of luck in the final.
Thank you very much.
And we have a chance to talk with Berkeley Holman, standout wide receiver for the Bosco Braves. Congratulations. What does it feel like to get here 4 years in a row to a CIF championship game?
It's awesome. You know, it's really hard to do just to even get there, and the fact that we've done it 4 years in a row really shows, you know, how our program is and such a great job Coach Ingo does.
You feel like you and your teammates, everybody here's really been a part of putting Bosco, you know, really on the map, especially, you know, in the football community here in Southern California.
Definitely. I think that my freshman year and the year before me when my brother was here, they really put Bosco on the map, and we're kind of just continuing that tradition and doing a good job at that.
What's the difference? What makes Bosco such a special place to attend school and to play football?
The brotherhood. We're all really close, you know. It's all boys, so it's just us. No distractions. You know, we're all there to win, and we're all there for the same reasons and same goals. So that has a big reason why we're so close and have so much success.
Obviously, when you've had the success that you guys have had, anything short of a CIF title, you know, let's face it, it's going to be a disappointment. What was the talk at the beginning of the season among the seniors, among the guys, you know, a chance to get back to an unprecedented, you know, fourth time in a row?
Yeah, we want to finish off our senior year, right? You know, being short our sophomore and junior year, you know, it's not enough for us. So, you know, we really took the time, the off season and summer, you know, really work hard and put in the work to get there, and it's shown up in these past few games, and now we're back.
Were you happy to know it was modern day you get another shot at?
Oh, definitely, yes. We didn't want anybody else.
Obviously, the game earlier in the year could have gone either way. What have you guys seen on film? What do you think you have to do differently this time to come out on the other end of it?
We made a lot of mental mistakes that game, you know, errors that we usually don't make, and that kind of showed up to a lot of the mistakes we made, along with turnovers. You know, we didn't take care of the ball well, and that's usually why we do a good job. It shows you why we had success last week in Centennial. Did turn the ball over, and it shows up on the scoreboard. So we take care of the ball and minimal mistakes, and we should be fine.
Obviously, their defensive backfield, really strong back there. They've got a lot of kids who make big plays. Obviously, you're confident about what you can do against them this time around, I imagine.
Yes. That doesn't matter who I'm going against. They're very good, though. I got respect for them.
What does it say about the Trinity League? There's two Trinity teams here. You guys, I think Coach just said, you're going to have to beat seven Trinity teams to get this championship. I mean, this is really the best league in America, isn't it?
It shows you how tough it is, you know, year in and year out, that we're always in the championship, always or at least fighting for it. You know, it just shows you how good of a league it is, you know, the competition-wise.
Obviously, a lot of talk about their offense, and rightly so. They put up some huge numbers this year. Tell us about your offense and what you guys are capable of.
Well, we're capable of just the same. You know, we're doing a great job right now. I really feel like we're peaking right now at the right time and coming together as a unit.
Talk to us about your quarterback a little bit.
Oh, Real, yeah. Real's the real deal, you know. Fast as you can tell, and he can sling it a little bit, and, you know, gives a problem for defenses.
What's it going to mean to come out with a championship on Saturday?
They mean the world, you know. It's what we want, and what we want to finish our senior year off right.
Thanks. Good luck to you, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Right, thank you.
Plenty more to come here on Catholic Sports View. When we come back, we're going to talk to the assistant commissioner of the CIF Southern Section, Glenn Martinez. He's in charge of these football finals, and we'll find out what it takes to put that all together. And then we're going to talk to Chris Ricks, a former Florida State quarterback. He was also the quarterback for 1 year at Santa Margarita High School. And we'll catch up with Chris in his new role as an analyst for Fox Sports. Like I said, plenty more right here on Catholic Sports View. Stay with us on Immaculate Heart Radio.
Download a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What am I, insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com.
The Diocese of Orange is excited to announce our new online store. The Orange County Catholic Bookstore has thousands of Catholic product offerings, from prayer cards to crucifixes, statues, and icons. Whether you're searching for that special devotional gift, products, or books that support your personal faith journey, or a beautiful image or statue for your home or business, please visit store.occatholic.com. Proceeds from purchases help to sustain the social outreach, educational, and pastoral ministry of the Diocese of Orange.
A couple of minutes to visit with the assistant commissioner here with the CIF Southern Section, Glenn Martinez. Obviously, it's a busy time right now for you. What exactly goes into putting this all together this weekend?
Well, a lot of the planning and preparation starts even before that. It goes almost all the way back to even before the playoffs start. I set up meetings with my official units in preparation for that. We had a little bit different format this year where we'd only predetermined what the Division One game would play on. Normally, we would already have our divisions. These six are playing, or seven are playing Friday. These six or seven are playing Saturday, and then it really was off. And that's really one of the new items with this new competitive equity playoff format, as opposed to the old geographical format. So, believe it or not, the busiest time is after the luncheon, coordinating the awards presenters, getting thank you letters, and we give commemorative coins to all the officials who are, were selected for this game. So getting all that information out, asking the athletic directors, here's the information, giving specifics to the presenters, the format, getting a hold of the principals of the host sites, here's the thing. So today is really the busier day, and then tomorrow is kind of take a deep breath and then get ready for the a fun-filled weekend.
Is it a moving target in ways because you don't know the teams that are going to be there, so you sort of have to hit the ground running once you know everybody that's going to be involved?
When we get to the semifinals, we can kind of look at it. And so you got four schools. If they all happen to come from four different units, then four different sections, you kind of have to figure that. So that's kind of a little bit of a puzzle piece. And then, who will play on what day, what night? Some of that will depend on, who plays. I mean, I will tell you, Friday night I was at the Bosco Centennial game. It kind of already had a formulated plan. Okay, in Division 8, this school versus this school, that probably is going to be a Friday night game. This school versus this school, and so on and so on. So we had a kind of a blueprint, and then it was just a matter of putting it forward.
The luncheon is so much fun to get to see all the coaches and all the players, and schools like Bosco and La Mirada seemingly have permanent seats right now at the luncheon. But how much fun is it to see a school like a Rancho Christian or Santa Ana, who typically have not been here ever, or maybe in many years in some cases, and see the looks on the faces of those kids and those coaches to get a chance to be a part of this great day?
Well, that's just one of the elements of this new playoff format, where you're going to have schools who have never had a chance or not been successful, depending on their status in previous years under the old format, who now have the opportunity to play in a championship game. And some of that, for me, the fun of that goes all the way back to when the brackets were first released. Mm-hmm. And you started looking at it, and it's like, wow, this school, they're in the playoffs, and they haven't even made the playoffs. And then as you each week get closer and closer, and then all of a sudden you're looking at your board there, you're looking at your brackets, and you're like, that school, I don't think they've ever been to a championship before, or they haven't won one since 1948, and there's a lot of those, and I don't necessarily think they're Cinderella stories, but they're very interesting stories. They're captivating. I mean, Burbank and Yorba Linda have never played in a championship football game. So someone is going to have a championship for the first time in their school history. And you mentioned Rancho Christian, and there's probably some others that either haven't won a championship or haven't been there in so long that this is great. This is kind of what the high school football experience should be. Giving schools, giving kids, giving fans, supporters, rooters and all that, an opportunity now to see their school in a championship game.
You're on the administrative end now, putting all this together, but you know what it's like to be a part of the preparation for a week like this. As a coach, as an administrator, putting all this together, what's it like to be on that side of it? What's the hype like for this kind of a week leading into a championship football matchup?
Well, there are a couple different perspectives. As when I was coaching and being in several championship games, the most nerve-wracking, the most difficult game leading up through the playoffs was always a semifinal game. That's the heartbreaker more than anything else. Once you play that game and you were in the finals. It actually became fun as a coach. Granted, as you got closer and closer to the game, the nerves and the butterflies, all that kick in. But from a coaching perspective, it was probably, and I've been in several championships and been on both sides. The preparation and the activities of that week, including that luncheon, they made the week that much funner. From an administrative standpoint, I've been on that side too. And as an administrator, you hope that coin flip goes. That's the one coin flip you hope you lose, because then you just like, where are we playing? And you just show up and play. If you're hosting it, then you're running around. Ticket takers, ticket sellers, you know, where are the awards? Where's this? Where's that? Is my announcer, you know, and all the logistical things that you do. And even though you've probably done that for 5 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever, you know, for some reason, it gets more magnified. And then, you know, the hardest part, obviously, is, okay, everyone in the world now becomes your best friend when you're in a championship game. Right. And it's like, you know, I'll never forget getting calls from, like, who? And you were the captain of the team win, you know, and you want to be on the sideline because, you know, so, you know, I don't miss those days as a site administrator having to be, you know, that type of person. And again, even as we administrate the championship game, as I met with, you know, Modern Day and Bosco this morning, you know, I want you guys just to show up and play. My job will be with my coworkers to handle the sidelines. We'll do what we have to do. You know, so you know, there's a lot of moving parts that go into it. From a school standpoint, it's a tough task. You know, but at the end of the day, once the game kicks off, yeah, then things kind of calm down and you play the game.
Right. Finally, so much going on in this office. Football's not the only sport that's going on, you know, this time of year. Water polo, cross country, a lot of championships are being put together as we speak. But, of course, football has its special place in the hierarchy. You're in charge of that. How important is it to this office to put on, you know, what ends up being, I think, one of the preeminent football events in the entire country?
Well, all of our championships are extremely important, and we all support each other. You know, I mean, I make it a point to try to get to the water polo championship. That's fun. It's different. It's also a break from football or anything else. You know, same thing with our other sports. It's not that football rules the world, but I mean, it is a key sport, and it is important to, you know, provide our schools with the best opportunity that we can in terms of enjoying a championship experience. And that's what we talk about all the time, is being able to give kids a championship experience. It's not about dollars and cents.
Well, the Southern Section is certainly the gold standard. All the hard work is appreciated, and it definitely shows. And we thank you, and we appreciate the time.
Oh, you're very welcome. Glad to be able to contribute in some way or form.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. A couple of minutes here visiting with Chris Ricks, former Santa Margarita High School quarterback. Of course, you went on to play at Florida State, and you've done so many things since then. We'll ask you about that in just a couple of minutes. But I wanted to talk to you about your time with the Eagles and what it was like to be a quarterback of a then Sarah League team, but now the Trinity League. You know, always a lot of pressure on the shoulders of a quarterback at a big-time school like Santa Margarita.
Yes, Bob. Well, it wasn't the ideal situation transferring from Bishop Beaumont High School. I was a young knucklehead and had to leave Bishop Beaumont, but I was very fortunate to find a school like Santa Margarita. Coach Hartigan, Coach Schaff welcomed me in for my senior year, and gosh, what a different world going from La Puente over to South Orange County. I had never even been to Santa Margarita, but what a beautiful campus, a great school. Came in August, and a much different system, much more elaborate system than I had at Bishop Beaumont, but Coach Hartigan and Coach Sergio Muniz, Coach Mike Maxwell, just really helped me feel at home. I wish I would have had more than 1 year there, not only for the system and the experience, but for the people. But I am very thankful for the year I had there. Like you said, a lot of expectations. It was our first year in Division I in 1999, but I had some great memories there with the guys. I actually was able to play Bishop Beaumont at midseason, and one of our biggest games of the year, we beat the Lancers, and just always remember some of those games, and playing against Modern Day and Servite and that old Sarah League. So always a special place in my heart. I'm very happy to go back there and visit, and excited for Coach Fisher and the staff and what they're doing there now at Santa Margarita.
How about what Coach Hartigan has done at J. Sarah and trying to put another program together, you know, down there from scratch, almost like he did at Santa Margarita? You happy to see the success that he's now having with the Lions?
Absolutely. Was able to broadcast one of their games last year and then see Coach again this year. And it doesn't surprise me. If you know Coach Hartigan, he is a competitor. Wherever he goes, he's going to produce a winner. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. But he's definitely built that that J. Sarah program, just like he did Santa Margarita. And any program he touches, I think, is going to be successful.
Yeah, you're working for Fox Sports now, and you get a chance to see so many of these great, you know, high school teams around Southern California. We talk so much about the Trinity League as we focus on in our show. Explain to everybody just how good this league is.
It's amazing. I mean, you hear about the Mission League now where Bishop Amat is, and you see Sarah as the league champs this year. But you just see it's a completely different level. I mean, take Santa Margarita, a team this year from the middle of the pack of the Trinity League, blows out Sarah in the playoffs. So it just shows that the Trinity League is just leaps and bounds consistently above the other leagues. And that's why it's considered one of, if not the best league in not just Southern California, not just the state, but the whole country. So what a privilege to see teams every week like Mater Dei, St. John Bosco, Santa Margarita, J. Sarah, Servite. Every team is capable of not only making the playoffs, but winning a championship. And over the next decade, I'm sure every team in the Trinity League will win a CIF championship, because that's how great the players are, and especially the coaches.
When you come to a luncheon like this, are you able to put yourself back in that time as a high school football player and kind of see it through their eyes and knowing the journey it takes to get to this point?
Well, I'm envious because I never was able to be a part of a luncheon like this. Never played for a CIF championship. Got to the semis 2 years, but never to the big game. So to see these teams reach this point and have a chance to win a ring and leave a legacy that lasts forever at their school, it's very special. And I don't think the young men realize it now. They think it's just a nice lunch and let's get back to school so we can prepare for the game and watch the film. But they'll look back on an opportunity in a moment like this and say, I remember when I went to that championship luncheon and the same week that we won a CIF championship. So it was very special.
But you got a chance at Florida State to get to those heights. How much fun was it to be part of that?
That was fun. You know, you miss it in high school, but to be able to be a part of that in college and get to bowl games and win some conference championships and play for a guy like Bobby Bowden, it's something I'll never forget and always be grateful for. So football has, it's been a blessing. And now just to still be around the game with Fox and with CIF, it's a tremendous privilege.
Chris, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
One final break here on Catholic Sports View. And when we return, we're going to get some media analysis from two longtime reporters here in the Southern California area. Eric Sonheimer of the LA Times, Jonathan Camus with the Orange County Register. They're going to tell us how this game might shake out in that Division I final. Monarchs and Braves. Stay with us here on Catholic Sports View. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. Bob Gibson along with you, and we're doing our special from the CIF Southern Section Football Luncheon. Wanted to get a chance to talk with some of the members of the media here, and we're chatting here with Eric Sonheimer from the Los Angeles Times. And Eric, you've covered a lot of these banquets and a lot of these championships over the years. Yeah, how much fun is it still for you?
Yeah, it's fun seeing the old-timers who keep coming back year after year, but also fun to see some of the new people. And that's what this year's event is about, because of the Southern Section chains and their playoff division, there's a lot of schools that really have not been here before, like Burbank and Santa Ana. So it's fun to get some new blood in here. You don't want to have the same stories year after year, even though the players' chains is the same schools.
Right. Are these some coaches that maybe you've never talked to before, and yeah, they're fresh stories for you?
Absolutely. There's some coaches. But then you have the great ones like Dave White. This is his last year after 31 years. And it's great to see that he made it back, and it's really been a tremendous story. Just one of the classiest individuals that I've had the pleasure of covering in 40 years. He's been the head coach for 31 years, so it's been fun.
I was going to ask you, you know, so many great stories, you know, it just sort of builds on itself. Even the D1 final, you know, you've got the old veteran and Bruce Rawlinson, and I don't want to call him a kid, but relatively speaking, Jason Negro, you know, getting a chance here to bring his team back to the final. So you get the kind of the dichotomy of those two coaches.
Right. They're both class individuals in the programs. They are clearly the best in Southern California right now by far margin. So that's what makes the Division I final so fun. And, of course, it's all about JT Daniels. The sophomore quarterback has been putting up statistics never seen before at Mater Dei or in Orange County, and it's stunning what he's accomplished. He's probably going to be the player of the year, everybody's player of the year this year. But one of the reasons why he's been so successful is because he's got a great supporting cast.
You've seen so many great quarterbacks over the years in the Southern Section and in the City Section. Have you ever seen a sophomore this advanced?
Not the way that he has been as far as calling plays. I mean, it's unprecedented, the authority and the responsibilities they've given. And that's what's most stunning about it. And he just keeps getting better. So if they can surround him with good players here over the next 2 years, he's going to be unstoppable. And in fact, 10 of the 11 starters on offense for modern day are underclassmen. So imagine what they're going to be like next year. I already told Bruce Rollinson, you better play somebody good next year in the non-league, because they have offensive linemen that are amazing, and they have this freshman team that is equally amazing, and you combine the two offensive lines, I don't see anybody touching them. And the second stringer, when you bring in the backups, they're supposed to be not as good. Next year, that's going to be very scary.
Hard to believe that modern day, 15 years since they've been to the CIF finals. What's changed in football where modern day has struggled to get back to this point?
What's changed is he has speed. He's never been able to beat the teams with speed. The Long Beach Polys of the world, the Corona Centennials, the Boscos, they added speed. And until this year, he did not have that. When he added the St. Brown brothers and some more people, that created the speed that had always hampered modern day in these big games. And now they are the team to beat, I believe. I know Bosco had a great game plan the last time they played, so I'll be curious to see if they stick with that game plan or change it.
We don't want to overlook Real Mitchell and what he's done at Bosco
speed.
As well.
Yeah. Speed, more speed. But they were able to stop him for the most part. It'll be about big plays and turnovers. If St. John Bosco can go another game without any turnovers, then they would have another chance to win. That's what they harped on last week against Centennial. They didn't make any, and so I'm just curious to see if they can go two straight weeks without turnovers.
I was going to ask you, after the season Centennial had, were you surprised to see the Braves take out Centennial last week?
I thought it was going to be a close game, and it was. I mean, I picked Centennial to win. I just think their offense is unbelievable. And they had scored on 11 consecutive touchdown possessions. I've never seen a school over two games do that well. But then they had that one interception. The turnover makes all the difference in the world in these big games. And Bosco, give them credit. The defense stopped them on a couple occasions because their defensive line rose up, and that's what they'll have to do against modern day.
Football's football, but what has changed over the years that you've seen since you've been covering all these CIF championship events?
Just a lot more scoring. I mean, these games are unbelievable as far as the scoring back and forth. I have to try and keep stats at the same time as shooting video and tweeting, and it's gotten out of control. It makes it less enjoyable from my perspective as a sports writer, but more enjoyable for the fans and who enjoy scoring. You won't see out missing an Ohio State game where there's 10-7 or 17-14. In fact, there were six lead changes in the fourth quarter in that Centennial-Bosco game, and it could be similar for modern day and Bosco on Saturday.
Now, I know you've got to keep an eye on all these games coming up this weekend, but give us a prediction, modern day or Bosco.
I'm still sticking with modern day. I just think they have the balance on offense, and their defense is a lot better than Centennial was. But Jason Negro is very good at these games, and he will come up with a game plan along with his offensive coordinator, Chad Johnson. Then it'll be up to the players. Can they execute for a second straight week? It's very much possible.
Thanks for the time, Eric.
Thank you.
All right, moving from the L.A. Times over to the Orange County Register, and we're joined by Jonathan Camus, longtime reporter, prep reporter with the Register. Jonathan, always fun to be out here amongst all the teams fighting now getting a chance to fight for a CIF title.
Oh, there are teams here? I was just here for the free food, man. What are you talking about?
Are we all, right?
Yes. Just after Thanksgiving, so this is my favorite time of the year. But no, it's a great event the CIF puts on. It's so cool to see all these young athletes come together and have a fun time here before the big game. It's a nice chance for them to unwind, eat, and maybe talk some trash to the competing teams right next to them.
You've covered a number of these now over the years. What's changed about football, high school football, over the past couple of years? What's the same about it?
What's changed is games are much longer. I think Oregon changed the game, man. I just, you're at these games and they're taking 3 hours and everyone's passing, everyone's running, no huddle. So, you know, when I first started, maybe it was 8 years ago covering the high school prep scene, it was a lot of running the ball. Let's take that clock down. Let's manage it. And now you're seeing teams with 50 seconds left airing it out, having their timeouts. I mean, I akin it to Madden. I mean, everyone's playing like it's Madden, right? I mean, it's like, come on, how many points are you going to score? You're at your own 20. But, yeah, I love covering football.
Obviously, you've gotten to cover the entire county this year. Yeah. Who were some of the teams that impressed you the most?
I think, I'll have to go with Edison. I mean, it's Coach Dave White's final season. He's been there 31 years. And to see this magical ride they've been on. I mean, I covered a playoff game where a ball was tipped into an Edison's receiver's hands into the end zone. I said, yep, it's a team of destiny. That's about, that'll do it. And they had some other wacky play in there. But, you know, to see them at the CIF title game, that's quite the Cinderella story.
Of course, we got to talk about Modern Day, the Division One final, Modern Day and Bosco. Have you seen a team as impressive top to bottom as this Modern Day team?
You know, I was talking to Steve Fryer with the Register and Dan Albano. I was telling him, is this the best Modern Day team ever? That's pretty scary. I mean, what they're doing, and speaking of video games like Madden, I don't think you can even do that in Madden, what they're doing right now, putting up 60 points, running, clocking people. I mean, what they got there with JT Daniels and his group of receivers, it's really unmatched in the county. And then their previous game, in a win against Rancho Cucamonga, they got it done on the ground. So it's not like, you know, they were scary enough throwing the ball. Eh, we'll beat you with 5 rushing touchdowns as well.
What's even scarier is that this group is made mostly sophomores and juniors. Yeah. I mean, this is another group. This is a group almost entirely coming back in a year from now.
They'll be back, and we'll all be scared. Well, the county will be scared, but, I mean, come on now, Modern Day. I mean, they're in a rematch with St. John Bosco. So, you know, Bosco wants to take them out for what happened earlier in the year, but at the same time, Modern Day, they could really cement themselves as one of the best teams ever, really, like the Bosco team was in 2013.
Obviously, we make our living telling stories.
Yes.
That's what we enjoy doing. It's easy to tell the Modern Day story. It's easy to tell the Edison story. How much fun is it for you, though, to talk about Capitol Valley, which is a school that hasn't been in a final in a long time? Santa Ana, mm-hmm. a school we never, ever hear about usually this time of year. How much fun is it to be able to talk to those coaches and those kids?
It's fun to see new faces. You know, Santa Ana with the Briseño brothers. I think they're twins. They look exactly alike. You know, they change their hair color. They're great. Also, Rancho Christian with Jim Kunau. I mean, he led Orange Lutheran to a CIF and state championship. This is their third year as a school, I believe, and here they are in a CIF championship game. So it's always fun to see new, fresh faces because we always get to see the same kind of schools up top in Orange County in our top 10. You know, we never get any flack for our top 10. You know, it's always rainbows and butterflies. Oh, Servite can never be better than Edison, and they're 4-7. But, you know, we get that every week. But, yes, it is fun to see fresh faces.
We cover the Trinity League here on this show, and I like to tell people the Trinity League is as good as it gets. Is it really as good as it gets, though?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if it's my steadfast rule, but I have a tough time putting any public school ahead of a private Trinity League school in my top 10. I'm just sorry. It's a different brand of football when you're there on the field every week covering a Trinity League school and then go to another, you know, school like a Sunset League school or an Empire League school. There's a difference. And this, I don't know any other league in the county and actually all of California that's consistently as good as the Trinity League year after year after year. And it's getting better every year. It's scary.
Jonathan, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
You know it. Thank you very much.
Want to thank all the guests that joined us here from the CIF football special, the Division I final, Modern Day versus St. John Bosco. And we'll have more analysis on the result of the game in next week's show. Want to thank everybody from the CIF Southern Section office, including Head Commissioner Rob Wygod. And if you want to catch this show again or any of the other shows here on Catholic Sports View, just visit our website, occatholic.com/radio, to catch all the podcasts. Thanks for joining us again this week. My name is Bob Gibson, and we'll see you once again next week here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio.
Passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family 4 spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.